Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Meg Brock, thanks for being here today, Meg.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. It's very kind. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's actually true. So in this one, you work with the Daily Caller Investigative Group. And one of the many things you've uncovered through all of this and through investigations is where our tax dollars go. And I've called Planned Parenthood often, Meg, a money laundering operation. And so in this one, you've uncovered where a lot of this money went. This was a Planned Parenthood affiliate, you say, how much money they received. And this is federal COVID-19 relief money, which essentially is at its roots, at its core, our tax dollars, right? Federal tax dollars. Mm-hmm. Can you take us through this investigation?
Yeah, this is the piece I did is about a federal, about a grant that was given to Planned Parenthood Keystone to fund the Rainbow Room, which I'm sure I know you've talked about this on your show many times. And that isn't, it's basically an LGBTQ youth program that's kind of like they do a lot of sexual education. They talk about things that I would consider personally pretty explicit topics, and they talk a lot about gender ideology. And so back in the fall, in October of 2022, Democrat Senator in Bucks County, Steve Hansario, announced that there was a $630,000 grant given to the Rainbow Room so that they could start a second Rainbow Room. He had a big vanity check that said it was signed from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And basically, I found the grant application and discovered that the funds explicitly came from the federal government and that it was, in fact, our COVID relief that was used to fund and given to Planned Parenthood Keystone to open a second Rainbow Room in Bucks County.
You know, and along the same lines, I will say, too, that there was just a story that I reported, I think, this week or maybe yesterday, and it was about, you know, crumbling schools or infrastructure, and specifically taxes might be going up in Bucks County. They have all of these schools. I think they named 8 schools that need either some or major renovation or tear them down. You know, there's a debate, taxes might go up. You think about all the needs post-COVID, especially. Do you, in your findings, how do they relate the two? I mean, how does the Rainbow Room, how does that even get justified through COVID money?
I mean, I think people would be really shocked if they found out. Unfortunately, I don't know if the average person really understands enough about what's going on. Hopefully they're starting to. But I think it's shocking. I think when you think about what COVID relief was intended for, it was supposed to help people whose businesses were struggling during COVID. You know, think about what was done to us, what was done to children during COVID. And even in the grant, there was a specification where it says that this money is supposed to address the impacts of COVID. Not clear how that it did, and I'm not clear how having a youth club that discusses masturbation with children who are 14 to 21, how that is addressing the needs of COVID. But yeah, I think it's pretty shocking. I think when we think about all the needs around us and we think about how much people are already paying in taxes, I mean, families are still struggling, you know, that everything's expensive. Taxes are very high. Foods, you know, it's going to take a while for us to recover from what happened during the last 4 years. So I think that it is upsetting to people for sure.
And so, you know, with this situation, are you getting much reaction or are they, you know, I know you always, you know, reach out and try to get reaction, justification. Has any official, anybody, Planned Parenthood, anywhere said, well, this is why, here's the connection?
No, I mean, I did ask Planned Parenthood Keystone. I reached out to them several times. I reached out to see Pantasario. I also mentioned in the piece that Bucks County government actually gave the Rainbow Room, Planned Parenthood Keystone, a $13,500 mini grant in December of 2024. And that was money that came from the opioid settlement. So, you know, there was a statewide opioid settlement and Bucks County got a lot of money from that. And so I again asked them, I said, how is this addressing the opioid crisis? Yeah. They gave a grant where they're now paying for Uber rides from high schools to the Rainbow Room in Lower Bucks County. And so I don't know. No one answered me to explain how that is addressing the opioid crisis. And I think that's probably also something that's frustrating, because there's a lot of people who are suffering from the opioid epidemic, particularly in Bucks County. There are kids who are suffering from it. And so you think, how are these funds, how are they addressing the problems that they're allotted to address?
Mega, I'll switch gears and just talk about things that you've put out on social media, and you've been very active with this, looking into, for example, United Health Group. And, you know, this is, and by full disclosure, this is under my work insurance. This is my health insurance. But just talking about where they're dedicating their dollars, and then thinking about insurance companies that are very profitable. This is a lot of money, and pouring their money into this issue of transgender surgeries, even for children. These are under the age of 18. And it's something I know we've talked about. I've talked with Beth Amrosica and many other experts as well about this, that in the UK, in pretty much every other part of the world, they've pulled back from a lot of this because of all of the science, all of the studies that tell people not to do these invasive situations on children because of what happens and the detrimental impact on them psychologically and physically.
Yeah, I mean, there was a scandal. I mean, I wrote about it in the fall about how WPATH, which if your audience is not familiar with, they're the World Professional Transgender Association of Health, and basically they're the largest gender medicine organization. I mean, I that's being very generous, I think, to call them that. But their science, or their alleged science, has been completely debunked. I mean, it's been very heavily criticized. There's no there, in my opinion, when you open up the hood of all that's going on right now. But their guidelines are very influential, and that's what health insurance companies are using to say that these procedures, like, you know, 13 or 14 year old girls getting their breasts cut off, are quote unquote medically necessary. And I've done a lot of research about just the complication rates. I mean, you know, you think about the surgeries, the genital surgeries, that's a whole nother very disturbing series of events and series of complications. And I think that all of these things are ultimately cosmetic. You cannot change your sex. We know that that's a biologic impossibility. It's impossible for anyone at any age to change your sex. All you can do is modify your body. So there's something quite ironic in that if a 50-year-old man decides he's a woman and wants a boob job, well, that'll be billed as medically necessary, and he can get that covered by insurance. But if a woman who actually has boobs wants to get a boob job, that's cosmetic. And so I say that to show that all of these procedures are cosmetic, and I think they should really be labeled as cosmetic and billed as cosmetic. And that would really, in my humble opinion, for whatever it's worth, I think that would really halt the entire industry.
See, I think what we should all do at once, what every biological across America, we should all declare and say, today I'm a man. I want vagina rejuvenation, and I want perkier boobs. Right there. I mean, boom. Put it on your insurance.
But you're not by their logic. That is actually what's happening. I mean, you think if that's really all it takes is to declare. It reminds me of the scene in The Office. I don't know if you're an Office fan, but where Michael Scott goes, "I declare bankruptcy," and just shouts it out to the world. I mean, that's where we're at. I declare I'm a man. I declare I'm a woman. I mean, it's so insane. And yet this is what is being taken seriously by the medical community, to the point, to your point, where if you actually did that, you know what? You might have a shot. Maybe it's worth a try.
I should do this. You know, it's almost, you can't make this up. It's almost like some kind of a comedy bit, like a Monty Python bit, where, you know, and isn't this the epitome of where the state of being a woman in America, that a man can get his vagina rejuvenation or his boob job paid for before me? That's crazy.
It is crazy. I mean, it is crazy. I mean, something I think I wrote recently was about how the purpose of any kind of reconstructive surgery is to repair function, right? Mm-hmm. To repair function. And you think about these sex change surgeries, they're not only, they're obliterating function. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the phalloplasty surgery, which is creating a fake penis, they have to they have to go in and mess with a woman's ureter, which is what you use to excrete urine. And there is a high complication of stenosis, meaning that you're going to have a problem, a very high likelihood you're going to have a problem excreting urine after the surgery. And you think about what a major function that is. I mean, my background's in nursing. I know I've had patients who had to go on dialysis because they couldn't excrete urine, because if you can't excrete urine, you die. You have to get rid of the toxins in your body. And so you think about that this is a cosmetic. All this is not restoring function. This is just an attempt to change the way someone's body looks. But we are obliterating functions that are key. This isn't like a minor complication. This is a major complication that could potentially threaten your life. And there are examples of people and young people who have died from you know, the complications or just the mental anguish after these procedures. So I think that there is a lot of questions of medical ethics, whether it's a child or adult, into what are we doing here? And is it really ethically okay? I mean, I would argue it's not.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's I try to wrap my brain around all of this, and I think we all do. We continue to, and we're very, for the record, I have to always say this, we are all very compassionate, loving people. That's why we're having the conversation.
Exactly.
The way they're doing it, right? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you're right. There's this lie that, like, you know, there. I know you referenced the situation in Pennsylvania with the quote-unquote transgender athlete. I always just say the truth is love, right? I think that there are children who are very vulnerable and are very confused, and they need help, but they need help to be brought into alignment with accepting who they are. Are they a man or are they a woman? Not taking their body and mutilating it and destroying their fertility to try and tell them that who they are is so wrong and so awful. You need to do all those things to be accepted. And it's like, no, we want to get back to basics here. We need to help these kids feel loved and confident in who they are, not in who someone is telling them they need to be.
Amen. You know, even the final question, I'll throw this out to you, that even though President Trump signed the executive order to make it clear that, you know, girls and women will be protected in sports, it doesn't go quite far enough. And until these laws are changed, such as here in Pennsylvania, until all the lawmakers will come on board, and Republicans don't have control, obviously, this situation, and it's happening in real time. I interviewed a mom fairly recently, the case that we're talking about, where, you know, and her daughter is emotionally upset because she's a biological girl. She came in second, in air quotes, in the race. And so this is, and the judge is, you know, Beetlestone, the federal judge here, local in Pennsylvania, not far from where I'm broadcasting in the federal building, said, well, there's no impact, there's no damage being done, you know, to this teenage girl. She's a senior in high school. I'm sure it would help her with scholarship opportunities and empower her and all of that. It's weird to me that she has to explain it and prove damages or whatever that she came in second. You know, to me, I just think we look to our Pennsylvania legislature, and the truth is, Meg Brock, I don't see it happening. I mean, so this is going to continue despite the executive order by Trump.
Yep. No, I mean, you're absolutely right. An executive order can help move the ball forward, but ultimately, it's got to be the states passing laws. It's got to be school boards standing up and pushing the issue. And I mean, it just makes me so sad and so angry to hear that a young female athlete. I mean, this is literally, you think about what women fought for to even be able to participate equally in athletics. Yep. You think about all the women that we stand on and who have gotten us to this point. And now we're going to tell the next generation of young women that, well, if a man decides he's you, you know what? You have no right to even be upset, basically. I mean, that's what you're telling this girl. Yeah. You don't even have a right to feel like you deserve to come in first. It makes my blood boil. Yeah. I wish I could give that girl, a young girl, a hug and just tell her, like, stand strong, because there are all of us. You, Dawn, I know you're a warrior in this issue. I know for myself, it's the next generation of young women that we are fighting for, and we're going to protect, and we're not going to let those girls be erased, and we're not going to let their dreams be stolen by confused men. No, absolutely not.
Thank you. That's beautifully said. Love you, Meg Brock. You're the best.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.